In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady of Sorrows,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Father Lenteri,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius of Loyola,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we've arrived at the very heart of the Passion of Christ, and it is the crucifixion. Okay, this is a very brief but poignant catechesis on prayer. When you're praying, it's always a good idea to pray in front of the crucifix. Okay, when you're praying, always pray in front of the crucifix, whether or not you're meditating upon principle and foundation, or our Lord walking on the water, or the Passion of Christ, or even the resurrection of Christ. Praying in front of the crucifix is very efficacious. In the 13th century, you had two of the greatest minds that were talking together. And it was Thomas Aquinas and St. Bonaventure. They were actually good friends. Good friends, good Neapolitan friends, okay? And Aquinas asked Bonaventure, where did you get all of your wisdom? And Bonaventure said this, from the cross. So just having the cross in front of you when you're praying is a powerful motivation to enter into prayer, especially in this moment, the exercises where we have arrived at the very heart of the Passion of Christ. And it's the crucifixion. You can find that in Matthew chapter 27, 33 to 44, those 12 verses. I've given you those two chapters, but those would be the verses on the crucifixion of Christ. In the version of Matthew, Matthew 27, 33 through 44. Okay, the way I'm going to present this today is through means of a famous movie, and then I'd like to give you a summary of what Fulton Sheen gave for many years when he was preaching in the Church of St. Agnes in Manhattan. He did this for many years. You can buy the book. It's called The Seven Last Words. The famous Seven Last Words of Christ. I don't think anyone goes beyond Sheen. Sheen has written a book on the characters of the Passion, too. He's written one on the Seven Last Words, as well as the life of Christ as the eternal Galilean. My literary formation is coming out now, but he's written so much, Fulton Sheen. We've been listening to him the whole retreat. You're going to be going home much more eloquent, I'm pretty sure. Okay, Can I invite you all to try to do this meditation, the Passion of Christ, His crucifixion, through the eyes of Marcelino Panivino. Marcelino Panivino. Marcelino Panivino. You all know the story. I've recounted that in the exercises. So you have to become like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says that. Yes, unless you become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom. So all of you are going to become Marcelino. And like him, you're going to be going in front of the crucifix and pray for the grace to imitate this little child. He's bold, breaks through the protocol of the monastery. He climbs, which is symbolic of Calvary, is to climb the stairs. He's observant. He opens up his eyes and he sees on the wall this big graphic crucifix. Then what does he do? He talks to Jesus from his heart. How does Cardinal Newman define prayer? Cor et cor locutor, if you know your Latin well. It's a heart-to-heart conversation. Cardinal Newman's heart-to-heart colloquy. He looks at Jesus, and Jesus looks at him, and he opens up his heart, and he starts to talk. And he starts by getting to know this man on the cross. Comes back another time and he sees that this man on the cross, he looked very bony with his ribs jutting out. That means he's skinny. He's skinny. I don't think any of us have gotten more skinny during this retreat, right? Probably not. Maybe not. But he sees his rib cage jutting out. So the little boy puts two and two together. And he goes into the refectory and he, on the sly, he absconds with some bread. And he goes and he brings Jesus the bread. Marcelino Panivino. Now, if you eat dry bread, you're probably going to be thirsty. So, he goes in to bring the vino. So, Jesus is eating the bread and he willingly... You see how Jesus accepts these gestures of love. You're called to offer Jesus gestures of love. Yeah. This is the greatest contemplation on love we have in all the exercises right now. This is where the love reaches its climax. Then he notices that Jesus doesn't have any clothes on. And he's thinking, well, I've got some covers on my bed. Got an idea. So he goes and he brings his covers, and he gives his blanket to Jesus. That means the little boy is going to be shivering that night. Yes. You have to put two and two together. You're using logic now. The little boy's not going to have any covers at night. He's willing to suffer with Christ. Isn't that the grace we're begging for? Willingness to suffer with Christ, at least in small ways. Then, being very observant, he sees the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet. And every time he goes, the conversation is going deeper and deeper and deeper. The dynamic of these exercises, my friends, is hopefully your prayer is going deeper and deeper and deeper. Magnanimity. I hope. That's the dynamic. These exercises, you've arrived at the apex. Your prayer should be deeper and deeper and deeper now. The temptation is this. Well, we're almost finished the retreat. I can relax now. That comes from the chamuco. Okay? They come from the enemy. God has special graces for all of you until this retreat is over. Amen? Until the retreat is over, God has special graces for you. Till the very end. I was watching a review of a sports event. It's interesting. Notice in the fifth inning, my team was losing 5-3. The ninth inning, they won 10-5. I won't tell you the name of the baseball team. But I won't mention it. No, I really shouldn't in this context. But they were losing. They ended by winning by double the score. I like to use analogies from sports. So maybe up to this point, you really haven't been giving the Lord your 100%. I think I once mentioned this to Eric. Okay, football. A guy is tackled in football. He's tackled. Is he just going to lay down on a football field the rest of the game? No, he's going to get up. So we fall, we have to get up. That's what Jesus did in the road to Calvary, right? He fell, but he got up. He fell and he got up. He fell and he got up. He fell and he got up. With the help of Simon the Cyrene. We got a lot of Simon Cyrenes here, right? Amen?
Amen.
So you're going to be begging also for the grace of compassion. Compassio, to suffer with. To suffer with. Now Marcelina looks at this man on the cross and he notices that he's got a crown on his head. It's not a crown of gold or jewels or rubies or diamonds, is it? It's a crown of thorns. What does the little boy do? Gets a ladder. And he climbs up the ladder, and with his little hands, he's probably 4 years old, maybe five. With his little hands, he takes the crown of thorns off his head. What do you think would happen? What do you think happened to his hands? Probably. We got some thorn bushes here in this retreat, right? You ever notice those thorns, how sharp they are? Very sharp. So he was willing to allow himself to be wounded for Christ. Are you? Más o menos, ¿eh? Willing to allow himself to be wounded for Christ. By his wounds we are healed. It's building up to a crescendo, the climax, and the friendship is growing deeper and deeper and deeper. That's the way this retreat should be. Your friendship with Christ, I gave a talk on friendship with Christ, should be going deeper and deeper and deeper. Not more shallow, but deeper. That's the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, if that's not the case, you still got 24 hours to pour it on. No? They go from 5 to 3 to 10 to 5. You can do it. Pour it on. Be open to God's grace. You beg the Blessed Virgin Mary today, these next 24 hours, to really end this retreat as winners. And it might be a simple movement of heart, Lord, I've been attached to a certain thing all my life. I'm going to give up the attachment because I love you so much. That might be the victory. Ask the Holy Spirit, maybe speak it out with your director. Maybe it's something, one proposal from this retreat, I'm so attached to this thing, Lord, I'm going to relinquish it because I see your arms on the cross like this. What does that symbolize? Total openness. Not like Buddha with his big belly, there he is looking down at his big belly, huh? No, he's got his arms open like this, huh? Now is the time of conversion. Now is the time. There are many of us here, there's something so intimate in our heart we have no courage to tell anyone. But you can tell it to Jesus. That happened to Marcelino. What was most intimate in his heart? He's the very end of the movie. He talks to Jesus and says, Lord Jesus, do you have a mother? He says, yes. What is she like? The best. Can I see her? Yes. Thunder and lightning and the little boy falls back. He dies. But does he really die? He doesn't die. He's taken up into the loving embrace to his heavenly mother. That's Marcelina Panavina. You are called to be Marcelina Panavina at this juncture of the exercises. See, this isn't so much a head experience. This is really an exercise of the heart. That's what we're aiming at in these exercises. To go, the biggest distance is to go from the head to the heart about 12 inches. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes that connection. So all of you, have to maybe ask your spiritual director to change your name tag. It's no longer Marina or Mimi or Elvira, it's Marcelina Panavino. It's Marcelina Panavino. You got a new name today. Marcelina Panavino. So go from Marcelina Panavino to the foot of the cross. But use Marcelina Panavino as a bridge to arrive at the foot of the cross. Use that as a bridge, as a conduit to arrive there. Now you're standing at the foot of the cross. I wrote down 20 different characters, but I like to take three. I like to take the best. The Magdalene, John the Evangelist, and the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our friend Fulton Sheen says these three symbolize three different dispositions of heart, three different characters. Magdalene represents penitence, a life of penance after a sinful lifestyle. John the Evangelist represents the priesthood. Isn't he a priest there, offering Christ to God the Father? The spotless victim for the salvation of the world, John the Evangelist, he's the patron of the priests. Even Our Lady of Knock, maybe you've heard of Our Lady of Knock in Ireland? Who appears as Our Lady but John the Evangelist, dressed as a bishop in the garments of a priest? Our Lady of Knock. And then the Blessed Mother, according to Fulton Sheen, represents innocence. Innocence. So you stand at the foot of the cross with Mary and John the Evangelist in Magdalene. Mary and John are standing together, and there is Mary Magdalene hugging the cross with disheveled hair. Just a ball of emotions, right? You're there. I beg for the grace to really do a good contemplation where you're really present there. Beg for that grace. This, I hope and pray, will be the best contemplation in the whole retreat. That'll be my prayer for you. I mean, this is going to be the best. We're going to really plumb the depths of God's love, but His love for you and for me. Paul says He suffered and He gave Himself for me. So, if you like, quickly I'll give you the seven last words, and you can maybe choose one of these words that's for you. The first word, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. This is one of the most extraordinary verses in the whole Bible. Here you have Jesus who's basically beaten to a pulp. And he's basically just a gaping wound. No one ever suffered more than Christ. And the first thing he says, and he forgives them and he tries to excuse their sin. Wow. Right? He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Talk about the heart of mercy and love. There you have it. That's one of the greatest verses in the whole Bible. You have difficulty forgiving someone, meditate upon that, and that will give you the grace. Because what you suffer is nothing in comparison with what he suffered. And he says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Then he says, the shortest is, I thirst. If any of you like Augustine, St. Augustine's so eloquent. St. Augustine on this says, Jesus thirsts that you thirst for Him. Jesus hungers that you hunger for Him. Remember the woman at the well? Give me to drink. Give me to drink. What does Mother Teresa says? God thirsts that you thirst for Him. We're called to slake the thirst of Christ. That's the charism of Mother Teresa and the Missionaries of Charity. To slake the thirst of Christ. Then Jesus says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. How's your Aramaic? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there we have the dark night of the soul of John the Cross. Yeah? My God, why have you forsaken me? You go through dark moments? Our Lord went through many more dark moments than you did. Then he looks down and he sees the two that he loves most, his mother, John the Evangelist, and he says, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Please try to do this contemplation side by side with the Blessed Mother. Ask Mary to pray with you and to pray for you." Be there close to John the Evangelist. This would be a good idea, a good time to renew your consecration to Mary. You can do it whenever you want, but this is a very good time. You're renewing your love for Mary because Mary was the one that suffered most after Jesus. You're called to enter into the heart of Jesus through the heart of Mary. And then one of the most touching scenes in the movie of Mel Gibson is when you see the two thieves, the good thief and the bad thief. And that dialogue. The good thief, being converted, turns to his friend and says, "Look, we're here because we deserve it. We deserve it. But this man has done no evil." And he turns to Jesus and says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." See, Jesus is so weak now, he can barely lift up his head. But he always responds to love and mercy. He's weak. He's lost a lot of blood. He's having difficulty in breathing, exhaling and inhaling. He's exhausted. But he wants to forgive this thief. And he says, "Amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." And he died a thief because he stole heaven. Amen? Yeah. That's encouraging for us because we have family members that are very far away from God. Very far away from God. So was he. But he died begging for mercy and loving Christ. Who was the first canonized saint in the Catholic Church? The good thief? The first canonized saint in the Catholic Church was the good thief. Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." So there's hope. There's hope. This guy was tough. He was a thief, a murderer, an insurrectionist. I think the Cholas of Compton would be afraid of this guy, man. maybe even East LA. I mean, this guy was tough medicine. No? He was a tough guy. But he ends up by dying and going right to heaven. There's hope. There's always hope. And then Jesus says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." We should pray for the grace of all graces, St. Alphonsus, the grace of a holy and happy death. Amen. The grace of a holy and happy death is the grace of all graces, Saint Alphonsus Liguori. And then Jesus says, it is finished. All of us have a mission on earth. Given that this is a very special group of people, the salvation of many souls depends upon me, Father Victor, Brother J.R., that's true. But the salvation of many souls depends upon you people. Your becoming holy and really living out this retreat and producing fruits will and can result in the salvation of many souls. So Christ loved us so much. Through the heart of Mary, let us love him in return. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. St. Ignatius, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.